Hey Siri, play What's Coming Out of Your Mouth podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Coming out of your mouth. I am your host, Al Tanya Lachey, along with my co-host,
Pete Fairley.
All right, Mr. Pete Fairley, we made it another week. How's your Tuesday going?
My Tuesday is going spectacular. You did. It's been busy as always, you know. But I mean, as always, I'm looking forward to the show. I was rushing getting here, trying to get my head together, get my game together so I can be on tap for the show. And I'm ready for a good show. How has your Tuesday been?
It's been interesting. I've been working from home with my little co-worker here. She at home for spring break. So, you know, it's been an interesting day so much. So as soon as it was 5 o'clock, me and her both crashed, like we've been at work all day. And so then I had to go rush and pick my groceries up, you know what I'm saying? Right at the last minute when it's time for the show. But it's all good. We're here now. I'm ready to do a little chit-chatting and getting it going. So, you know, it's a Tuesday for you.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you ready to rock and roll now, right?
Yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll. All right, you guys. Y'all come on in the room. Drop an emoji if y'all see us circulating out here. Please share the podcast on your pages or in your stories. We would definitely appreciate that. And we're going to go ahead and get it going. With this video.
Also, when you get on, make sure you hit that heart or hit that thumbs up at the bottom.
Yes, please. More little thumbs up and hearts we get. You can help it circulate. Okay. Let me get this video playing, and then we're going to get it going.
That is a powerful person, because this person has already created peace within themselves. They have already created peace within their own company. Once a person has found peace, they will literally do anything to protect that shit, even if that means they have to stand alone until someone comes along who is on their level. Now, a person who's afraid of being alone, they will allow that mistreatment. They will allow themselves to be in dysfunction just to be in the presence of another. So let go of that fear. Love you, I'm out of here. A person who is not afraid to be alone is a dangerous individual. That is a powerful person, because this person has already created peace within themselves. They have already created peace within their own company. Once a person has found peace, they will literally do anything to protect that shit, even if that means they have to stand alone until someone comes along who is on their level. Now, a person who's afraid of being alone, they will allow that mistreatment. They will allow themselves to be in dysfunction just to be in the presence of another. So let go of that fear. Love you, I'm out of here.
Okay, I know we had played a little bit twice, but we missed out on the first part. So what you think about that, co-host?
I think he hitting that, you know, he hitting it on the head, because, you know, people, we are often say a lot of times, they must be afraid to be alone. They scared to be by themselves. Why they put up with that? Why they let somebody do them like that? And you know, when you're afraid to be alone, you stick around longer. You put up with more trash than you should. You know, all this stuff. But if you're not afraid to be by yourself, you take your self-worth farther. And you take it's more precious to you. So I think he hitting the head on. What you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I do agree that, you know what I'm saying, once you get to that point where, you know what I'm saying, you are comfortable in being single and you realize your worth, you, like he said, you'll do it and go at all costs to protect your peace and, you know what I'm saying, limit people who come in to interrupt your life and don't mean you no good. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that he was on point with that. And I said, of course, I shared that on my thing, but on my TikTok. But I say this is a what's coming out of your mouth conversation. So I want y'all to let us know, do y'all think generally people are afraid to be alone, our people are now more comfortable in being single because they know that it's slim pickings out here.
Okay. And so do you think that because you think it's slim pickings and people are afraid to be alone?
You know, I would say it appears that a lot of people are afraid to be alone, just if I could be quite honest. Because people do put up with way more things than they should, but I think those are more people who have probably been in long-term situationships, and they are, I wouldn't necessarily, they may not be necessarily afraid to be alone, but they're comfortable in their routine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to break up the routine of having that person to come home to, having this person to go here or there, regardless of them being unhappy in the situation. They just so comfortable in their routine that they'll be willing to stick it out just for the sake of, you know, that whatever facade they have created.
But and not only that, people, you know, like you said, people get comfortable and they're afraid to see what change is like.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I think. So, that's just my take on it. But I just think that people need to really be more conscious of that because, you know, you've been sat around and waste your life in something that you know really won't benefit you at all. You know what I'm saying?
So do you think a person can go from being afraid to be alone to being a person who can stand on their own?
Absolutely. Once you realize that you're worth more than what you're putting up with.
I just think it's just only a matter of doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's always a fear of doing anything. But once you step out there and you do something, you develop that confidence and you be like, okay, this ain't bad as I thought, or it ain't easy, yeah, but I'm willing to see what this like, you know, instead of putting up. So it's just taking that first step.
Exactly. Exactly. And once, like you said, when you make one step, you can make 25 steps. Mm-hmm. Like I would say about moving out of state, that was the scariest, even though like going away from school, you know, and being away from home, but just moving, relocating my whole entire life to a whole nother state was the scariest, most emotional thing that I had gone through up until that point before becoming a mom, but you know, up until that point. But now I feel like I can move anywhere in the world because once you do it one time, you can do it 1,000 times over. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, of course.
But that first time is the most frightening thing because you like you don't know whatever it's going to take to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first time is most frightening, but once you do it once, you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? Everything, you know, in the beginning, I don't care what it is, if it was school or what, it's frightening in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you first get there, but you just have to draw off those experiences. Like, I remember what I was afraid to go on a job. Okay, well, now I'm not afraid. Now I'm going down the most talking to person. You can just draw off those type of experiences. And then, you like even like the little kids that I teach, you know, in sports, I teach them that the things I'm teaching is lifelong experience, you know, thing that it's not just to apply to sports, it's all also gonna be applied to your life as you become an adult, you know. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of times, if we don't have nothing to draw some from your childhood that you know what I'm saying, and that can give you the courage to do things.
Not all the time, the childhood was probably a good something to draw off of. You know what I'm saying?
You got some experience when you tried something that you were scared. If that's jumping off the diving board.
Yeah, I guess
you're right. It's something you have experienced before in your life that you was afraid to do, but once you did it, you realize it was the best choice or the best decision that you could make.
Right. Yeah, I give that, co-host. All right, y'all. We get co-host a little kudos.
Love.
Okay, co-host. So who would you say, and y'all that's listening, thank y'all coming on in the room. We appreciate it. Make sure y'all sharing the podcast and giving us some hearts so it can keep circulating. I see a lot of people coming in and out of the room. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So, co-host, who would you say is responsible for your love language?
Tell me, what did I develop?
I know people don't do their homework. They ain't even, he ain't thought about this.
Who is responsible for my love language? I would say, who is responsible for my love language is my mother and my father.
Okay. Okay. And why would you say that?
Because, I mean, that's what you learn. Okay, say your mama, your first girlfriend when you, if you a guy, right? Basically. Yeah. And the way you see your daddy maybe treat her or whatever, that makes it, okay, maybe the touch and feeling is my, I want to see how that feel when I get grown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? like if your parents married, like, but we come from a married house. I often always thought, how do you find a wife? How do you find a wife? That's what I used to always wonder.
Really?
How do you find a wife?
You
know, because I thought it was like, why everybody not married? Like, why? How do you really find a wife?
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people don't look at it like that, but it's true to issue, right? I think you develop your love language from your parents, your childhood, your upbringing. You know what I'm saying? Right. Who is responsible for your love language?
Well, I definitely agree with that. Again, this is a conversation that I was having with one of my coworkers. And, you know, me and her, we always talking about things. But I also think that your parents are mainly responsible for it, because that's where you see, you know, your first example of love, hate, or emotion, you know, public display of affection, you know what I'm saying? You see how they love each other or how they don't love each other, right?
Right.
And so in your head, like you were saying, how to find a wife, then in your head, you start thinking, well, I don't want to do my person like this, or this is how I want to be with my person. You know what I'm saying? Whenever I get into a relationship. So I definitely agree on that. But also, I think your parents probably lay the foundation of it, and you kind of come and build a house on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of give you an idea, and then you determine if these things fit you. Because some people may come from, like, say, you and your wife, very, mm-hmm. very, very PDA, touchy feely. They all over the top, y'all. Like, I ain't gonna give all their business away, but they very extra.
Now, how you extra? Hold up.
No, I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm just saying y'all the real people that be, you know, walking, you know, doing all the stuff.
Right.
So I'm just saying, what if AJ, if he don't like to hold hands and kiss and do all that, you know what I'm saying? So he's not saying it's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But you could say, well, I don't like all that kissing and touching every time we go walking down the street or in the store. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think your parents definitely lay the foundation and give you an idea of if that fits you.
If that fits you or not. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right. But then you determine if, okay, I think you pick and choose those different things. So do you feel like then for those who probably had a volatile upbringing, different things like that, do you feel like they developed their love language based off that as well?
Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, this here stands for not only love language, it stands up for guard or all that different stuff that you have. Because a lot of times when you see your parents, like, get disrespected, some guys were like, I would never treat a woman like that. You know what I'm saying? It will make you know. Or sometimes when you see that stuff, you think that does mean love. So,
yes.
So it affects you. You know, your upbringing affects everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be careful to not try to learn too much of the bad, you know, and try to get the good. But it's going to affect you all in some way, and you're going to have some kind of residuals of it. You know what I mean?
Residual effect, yeah. What do you think also that a lot of people, you know, like we're saying, this love language and just overall, just parental influence on your life. Mm-hmm. Do you think that a lot of people who are stuck or stagnant in some situations have not realized how their parental influence play a role in that, and that is what is hindering them from really progressing in life.
See, what I think people do realize where it comes from, but they don't get that closure. You know what I'm saying? They don't go back and get that closure. And it even sometimes if their parents don't give it to, they don't go get the therapy or help that they need for.
That's a good point. So because my rebuttal was that, like, okay, well, if people are not getting filled with anything, then how are they properly developing their love language or how they want to be loved or whatnot? But it's still interesting. But I just think that I know we probably talk about this more than other shows, but we do not realize how much of an effect that our parents truly have on us. And then vice versa. Now, would you say, like, as a grown adult, that you have an effect on how your parents do things?
Definitely. If you have open-minded parents who are study evolving, you definitely gonna because there's some stuff that your parents do or have done, and then they see it in a different way. They be like, man, well, maybe it ain't had to be done the way we were doing it. Let's try this right here. Because if they're open, you know what I'm saying? Because if they're open, yeah, to always evolve. I was teaching a group of kids that tonight. It don't matter who you are around. If they doing some of the same, if they're in the same field you in, they doing the same job you do, I don't care if you the best at it. It's always something you could possibly learn off that person that you could put it with your game and make it better. So I definitely think that your parents learn from their children once their children come up age and start doing stuff. They might not do everything to try to change their whole way to their children's style, but they could cop something off it and add it to their love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really think that is what keeps the cycle going. You know what I'm saying? The parents teach the kids, and then the kids start teaching the parents. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think that keeps the cycle going. I think that helps create the legacy, because the parents start it, but the children generally finish it. But kind of like on, are you watching Tommy? Kind of like on those, his dad is really kind of hindering their legacy. Not Tommy dad, but you know, the big man.
His family. Yeah,
because the dad just want to keep doing it their way, but he's not realizing that as time changes, you got to be able to pivot and do, you know, get with the times and do the same thing, but do it in alignment with where the times are.
See, and I think that's big for a lot of people if they watching it. To see that at some point, right. it's okay to pivot. It's okay to let your child come up and take the lead. We gotta stop always thinking that we got the best ideas, the best thought, the best process. It's always, that's what you want your children. You know, it like even if you teaching your children and you ask your child what you want to be or whatever, they say they want to be just like you. You should teach them, no, be better than me. Be a better person than I am. Be a better father than I am. Be a better anything, what it is. So then once they become better, that should be strive you to make you try to come and reach their level.
Right. I definitely agree. And I love this coming right here. And it's kind of how we touched on it, but I'm glad that, you know, somebody else brought it up. When he says, how do you know what your love language is if you never saw love at a young age? And that was kind of my rebuttal, you know, like I just said, that, you know, for those people who were not shown affection or didn't see love in their household, how would they know what their love language is? But from my perspective, I would say, since you did not receive love or you didn't see love, then you determine in your head how you want to be loved. Like, you know, if you don't want this, and then you know how you want to give love because that was to you.
Right, but at the end of the day, even if you didn't see it or you did see it, you don't know what you seen. You just naturally grab that and do it. You don't know that means that's your love language. You know what I'm saying? So
but you have to be careful. See, that's where you got to look at the environment, because You're right. You don't know what you're picking up and what you're not picking up until you start displaying those behaviors. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know that you say if your parents curse a lot, you don't know that you're going to be a person that curse a lot until you start going, ooh, I know I can curse a lot. What am I picking up? You don't know what things you, as a parent, you don't know if the kid's going to pick up. As a child, you don't know what you're picking up until you start putting those things into practice. So just as well as we can say, coming from a loving home, we picked up loving things. You could also, if you didn't come from a loving environment, you could pick up things that could be detrimental to your relationship. You know what I'm saying? So that why you, as you start developing your love language and as you start determining how you want to show up in relationships, you got to be conscious of it. Because you might just say, well, this ain't good. Nobody's going to reciprocate this type of love. So I need to go and check myself on this so I can realign myself. You know?
Yeah, true.
Okay, this is a good point too. That's easy to say. Everyone's not mentally strong to find that love language. That's true, and I really think that's a big issue going on in the dating pool right now, because it's too many people having issues finding a mate. So I think that a lot of people don't know what the problem is. You know what I'm saying? Why they continue to have fair relationships, because they haven't really gone within and seen what their issue is, why they're attracting a certain type of people, or the people who they're attracting haven't did their work to figure out what's going on with them, that they got to keep dating multiple people. Or not necessarily dating, but you know, whatever the issue is. What you think?
I mean, people, like he said, they're not mentally strong to find their love language. That's a tough place to be in, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. That's just a tough place to be in, because I think a lot of times people can be so scarred in situations that they are scared to allow themselves to be vulnerable.
Ooh, co-host, yes.
That's what their mental come in. And they seen so much hurt, harm done that it's hard for them to let their guard down.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much really what it is. You know, not being able to be vulnerable because they have to be so tough, depending on everything that they endured as a child. You know, that they don't, nothing beyond that is going to happen. So they build up this shield around them and they never know when to let it down. So I think that's a really good point, actually. And that's why all this childhood trauma, you know, that people, you hear a lot of people talk about childhood trauma, but if you have a lot of issues in your adult life, 9 times out of 10, you got some childhood trauma that you haven't addressed.
And, that's why I think they need to look at seeing how they can put therapy in school, like a 12th grade exit exam thing that you must go through therapy before you reach before you graduate. Maybe that will help the world. If you go through a therapy session like on your exit part of your 12th grade year, Who would say that would make it better for us? Because, boom, you getting the foundation of working on your mental.
Once
you walk across that stage, world really hits. Life really hits, what I would say. Mm-hmm. So if we could get that at the end, right, when life really finna hit us, I think we'll be off to a better start.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I honestly think that it would just be good at just entering high school, because you know you're starting going through puberty and all this and that. So I think it should be available all the years, but you probably have to complete a certain amount of hours or a certain, you know, part of it by your graduation time, just to make sure, like, you know, you may need to further go, you know, get therapy going forward, or you know what I'm saying, you may be good for right now. But it creates a foundation that if I need this, I know where I can go. You know what I'm saying? So therapy is not so stigmatized on down the line. It's like, well, you know, we had this in school and it let us know that we start having these type of thoughts or these type of feelings. then this resource is available. So that's definitely an excellent idea. Now, how can we go about getting that into the school? Is the next question.
But if maybe if they generate it and make that every school have a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be so dope.
Right, because you think they said, well, you can go talk to the counselor, but from my experience, the counselor counseling. They would just help you with your classes and this and that. Yeah, so if the counselors are actually... Say what?
Counselor ain't hitting on that type of topic. But now, if we can make the counselor position transition to add that into their curriculum or whatever, and part of their teaching when they're in school, and making the other counselors have to go back and get these readjustment classes, courses, or whatever to keep their license afloat, we can go from there.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, he says exactly. Past events make us not trust love because something love hurt. That's true. Now, we talked about that a few shows ago.
Right.
About love, you know, hurting, but you're right. It's so many things shape you before you even think you think you know yourself, but the whole time everything you're going through is shaping you, and then you get in the world and you like, okay, I'm gonna be like this, I'm gonna be like that, and then you start intermingling with other people, dating and getting married and all this, and you realize, man, you need to get it together, sis, or you need to get it together, bro. This can't work when you merge yourself with another person. You know, you just don't realize it.
Yeah, true.
He says, I like it the way you eliminate the therapy stigma. That's the way you eliminate the therapy stigmatization at a young age. Absolutely. White kids have
stigmatization.
I don't know, but I like it. You're right. Yeah. White kids that have psychiatrists junior high. I just think mental health now, more people talking about it, more people are open to it. So we need to put that as a part of something that kids gonna have to do. That way they can't buck against it. You know what I'm saying? And they realize that it's nothing bad, because who don't want a clear mind? Who don't want to show up as their best self at the level that they are currently? So I think that's a dope idea, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. You always come through with some good information. Let's talk about Kanye, y'all. So he got his show on Netflix. I've been watching. It's a documentary, I guess you would say.
Great doc.
I've been watching it little bits and pieces, but today, like I said, working from home with the little one, I really got a chance to really deep dive in. So co-host said on last week he wanted to talk about it.
Great.
And I want to see what his thoughts are, but I know one thing about that I'm a newfound thing that I love about Kanye now is his confidence. And I maybe because I can align with being very confident or overconfident, as some may say, but the way he put it out there is like, okay, if I don't think that, something he said like, I love you the way Kanye love Kanye. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't think you the best at it, how you expect somebody else to think you the best at it? You know?
What is overconfident? Is that, I don't know what overconfident is.
I mean, I would think it's a term. It's a term, but you know what I'm saying? I don't think it should be a term, because people should be overconfident or overconfident, as confident as they can be. So I think that's one of those words that we have to redefine, because it can be looked at negatively. When in actuality, you need to be as confident as you can, like over the moon confident, because it's going to be things that's going to break you down. So I always think like, this is so old, but if you shoot for the sky, you'll fall among the stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're overconfident, so when you encounter a situation that kind of make you less confident, then you're still confident. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I think, you know, I learned a lot from the about Kanye in regards, you know, to just everything with him. But what I did see how much of a visionary it is. And one thing I think everybody should see in that documentary is this right here. You have to be careful because the person that you say is a peon to you, you can become a peon to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely a peon to Dame Dash. Now Dame Dash is a peon to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we got to always be mindful of.
Mm-hmm.
You always treat people with some kind of respect.
Mm-hmm. One.
Okay, and Kanye is a visionary. Everything Kanye said he was going to do, it came to fruition.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that I said about watching your words, and I talk about that a lot, but you have to really be careful what you're saying because it'll come, but it's good or bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I say, is he overconfident or crazy? Because all the stuff, they were like, okay, he going to do a clothing line. But he kept saying, I'm a very fashionable rapper. And it's kind of funny because his delivery, you know, the way he's saying and his attitude, it's kind of comical. But when you look at him in totality, I see why they call him a genius. Because even though they always say, okay, Kanye is a musical genius, and I'm like, okay. But now I can really see it from his eyes. You know what I'm saying?
He definitely a genius, you know. And you know it. Knowing a lot, you know, can cause you become crazy because you can overthink.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the more you overthink stuff, the more your mind gets to racing and it can come to that point. But right. another thing I seen on there that I love so much, if you are a parent and you can be your child's biggest supporter,
mm-hmm.
Your child thinks that they can reach the sky, baby.
Mm-hmm.
His mama was such a supporter of him in ways that she can be my mama 10 times over.
Mm-hmm. She can.
You know what I'm saying? And in that aspect, you can see why he was broken when she left here.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat, though. Somewhat, like, I can't really speak on it because we haven't experienced that. But I'll say a lot of it, yes, because, you know, it's nothing like your mom. But all I'm saying somewhat is because she poured so much into him that she prepared him for her absence. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't going to shake him up and take him all the way down through there.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely did what she needed to do, so in her absence, he would be able to stand. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, of course. And another thing, I'm gonna tell people this too. Teaching your child, you know, the core values and of education and of literature and things of that nature is great. It's the best thing you can do. One of the best things you can do.
Right. But
also be able to support them if they take that same stuff and translate it in a different form and not the form that you once had.
Absolutely.
Because that's all he did. That's what he did. He took her English professionals, all that school knowledge that she put in, and he took it and he put it into poetry.
That's right.
Aware, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But she supported him. Mm-hmm. And gave him a chance. And not only did she support him, she supported him financially and giving him this and giving him that, tell him to go be around these people. So it just serves stuff that you feel you can do when you have parents that support you. And I'm just a witness of that. You know what I'm saying? You
know, right, absolutely.
You know, because when your parents tell you that you're great, that you're handsome, that you're this, that you're that stuff starts to sink in and you get mm-hmm. you comforted to become great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even when it comes to when you're going to start to butt with them.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you that confidence. They gave you that stuff. So it's going to come a point of time that you're going to butt with them. But you have to be smart enough and bright enough to also turn around and say, look, we're not going to let that be the end all be all.
Right. But to get them to see that, I'm just using, like you said, using what you've given me in a different form. So yeah, I just think it was awesome. I'm gonna take this comment and I'm gonna come back to my point.
Okay.
He says a lot of people have a problem with calling geniuses mental ill or crazy. Funny how those perceived accusations of those who are highly successful now. And that's right. Steve Jobs, crazy billionaire. Tyler Perry, mental illness billionaire. And he right. But you know, like you said, co-host, sometimes when you have such a depth of information and you try to process, because the one thing I've seen about Kanye, he talk a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's like his mind going a million miles a minute. And so when he's saying so much is coming out, it's too much to take in for the average person.
Yeah.
So now they're saying, what is he saying? He's crazy. But you know, anytime people don't understand something, they'll label it crazy or they'll think it's funny because they cannot process it. And so from Kanye, that's what I think. You know, well, you know, I want my own shoe line. You know, I want, you know, and he is just because it's so much in his head that it can come out like, what is he saying?
Yeah. But you know, he had the confidence to do these things and go in these rooms and still be himself.
Yes. Okay.
And okay. That's what he didn't sell out at, like most people did. He was able to still be himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now I'm not saying that everything he has done or said is right, because of course everybody makes mistakes, but his mistakes are gonna be bigger highlighted because he has such a high platform and these right. things are that nature. But right. a lot of time he's playing with society because he know how to say this and say that crazy or off the scope of things, and then everybody get to talking about him and then he get to sell it.
Right, right.
So he actually playing. Yeah, which is genius of itself.
Right. But okay, so one part of the documentary, now that you said that he was able to stay true to himself, right? So one part of the documentary from the person, Cootie, is it Cootie or Cody?
Yeah.
Who was doing a documentary from his perspective that, you know, the Kanye that was trying to get into the rooms was the original Kanye, right?
Right.
Versus the Kanye who was in the rooms was Ye. Or Jesus, right? So right. On one part he says that Kanye wanted him to stop recording or because he was playing a role then, right?
Yeah.
So how do you feel? And he said that, you know, when Kanye started playing this role, that he didn't know who he was going to meet because he didn't know Ye. He knew Kanye, but he didn't know Ye. So how do you feel about, you know, being Pete or Abishon, and then now you have evolved into Pete. Do you feel like when we evolve into this person who we say we are, that is our true person? Or are we playing this role as Altanula Lachey versus just Altanula or Shay or whoever somebody knew from the beginning?
I mean, down to your core stuff, you still the same person, but you do evolve and become more of an elevated person. But I am in the public eye, I am different than I am at home too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what by him being, he played to the world. That does not mean who he is. He's still that down old person, but the world can't see that person because that now they take advantage of it.
That's a good perspective. I mean, I think that everybody, you know, you have, like you said, your outside persona and your inside persona. And it can differ some, but it shouldn't differ significantly.
Right.
For your husband or your wife or your best friend or your mama say, Who was that at your conference? I ain't never seen you. You know how somebody would say, you were talking white. Or, you know what I'm saying? Something like, something.
Oh, yeah, so that is too much. But
yeah,
now,
but you know what I'm saying? Something so drastic that they none of it aligns.
But let me tell you this. This is what I can always draw back to. I can remember the first time seeing my wife teach. It was so amazing to me because I felt like she was a different person. Then the woman I see at home, the woman that I met, the woman I talked to on the phone, so certain things require it does not mean that you are it require a different side of you, I would say.
So you think it's necessary to turn that switch on to go outside and be this person?
Yeah.
And then turn it back off when you come home.
Yeah, because I think, like, I deal with a lot of professional people. And most people, like, when they come in the barbershop or, you know, or wherever we may be, they want to approach them as who they are professionally. But that person, when they come in the barbershop or and they're at a picnic and it ain't got nothing to do with the profession. They just want to be themselves. They don't want you to be talking to them all like this. They want to be themselves. So your people might hear them cuss or whatever. And they be want to look at them and not realize that this person is still a human.
So you think that as a friend or family perspective, like the guy, that he shouldn't have taken it personal that Kanye was yay when he was on stage or in those certain rooms, he should just have adjusted and understood that he needed to show up as Ye so that he can be Kanye when he back at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, he was just prepared to be that person. And some people can take that and take it, you know, it can go to your head. Now, let's not be crazy about it now. That level of success can go to your head. But you know, so but I do think
Kanye,
it can make you a different person to where even when you're around you know, just your normal circle, that you can't come off of that.
I think it depends on the person.
People can get there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, like, they're like, hold up now, you still such and such, you know, in the moment, you know, so let's not play that card right now. Like, that's just we us right here. Now, I'm going to respect you in the of who you are in that arena, in that place. But right now, we just homeboys, we just sisters and brothers. Now, come on. Now, when you get around if you over this Fortune 500 company, I'm not going to come in there in front of all your employees and say, Shay this, Shay that. I'm gonna say Miss Wireless because I just respect you as a professional. But now don't bring Miss Wireless to the dinner table.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. That you gotta know when you gotta adjust accordingly with the person. You know what I'm saying? You gotta know what we doing in this moment and this that, and not take it personal. But you also should be evolving along. If you're really close knit with a person, you should be evolving along with them. So, you know what I'm saying? We know how to get professional, get dressed up when we need to go in there and be Mr. Farrell and Mrs. Wallace. You know what I'm saying? And we also know how to go back and be Shay and Pete when it's time to be Shay and Pete. So I think that's important with relationships, you know, how to really gauge the relationship that you in with people. They still want to act like, okay, we Shay and Pete, when it's time to be Ms. Wallace and Mr. Farrell, then
that's you need on to
probably
them.
Not be in my circle anymore.
Yeah, that's on them. I don't need you to be trying to say that I can't see you as Mr. Farrell. I don't need that because that you ain't no real friend of mine or whatever then. Because if you can't respect me in this space, I can't respect you as a friend.
Exactly. And I think that's probably the main thing. But I thought that was interesting. I'm glad they was able to come back around. But I just thought it was interesting that he was so apprehensive to face Kanye as Ye because he didn't know how, you know what I'm saying, how to approach him or how to deal with him. So I thought that was really interesting. But I'm glad they was able to come full circle. I'm glad. I think he made, the guy who did the documentary made like $400 or something million off of this deal. So really, Kanye set him up, even though it was a shaky relationship. He set him up for success. It just, that just shows you that the path of success is not straight. You know what I'm saying? The ups and downs and all that. Because he thinking, oh, well, you know, I feel like, I don't want to say it was in jealousy when he seen Kanye.
Hurt. I think he was just hurt. Because yeah, it's quite natural. But exactly. If you with a person every day, and then they go through, you know, go to a peak, and now you're not in those rooms anymore. You're just naturally gonna be hurt, you know. Right. What I mean? That's just a natural thing. But at the end of the day, he came back to him. He did this, but not only Ye did a lot for him as well, because once he came back and did these videos and did these things, other people was reaching out. I'm just of the belief that the man been a billionaire. You gotta believe that, because he was doing still working out stuff. He had people have seen him in so many different rooms. They would call him out and get this and that. So, but it just you can learn a lot from it. But I just, you know, kudos to him for having 20 years worth of footage. Kudos to him for being a visionary. Right. He did see greatness in Kanye. It's a lot. It's a lot in that right there. Just right there.
I agree. But now let me say this. So, you know, when you see these kind of documentaries, right? Usually something you're ready to go on or something has went on with the person. And you see like the state of what he is right now, going back and forth with his baby mama. It's funny that you can be a billionaire and still have baby mama, baby daddy drama, which is hilarious.
Because you still a human.
That's right, I'm just saying, it just depends on the person that you are.
But yeah, he's still a human.
Do you think that this kind of make it feel like something could go on with Kanye since they making this type of a documentary? Or, you know, you just think it probably just time for that to be released?
It was just at its time. I don't think that something going to go out. It was at its time. It's like, how long can you sit on 20 years?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I think the dude himself, at some point, you got to release what you got, all this you got. You getting older too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I said, I don't know that. It just made me a little nervous. I was like, if we seeing this, you know.
But, I mean, but to see that a person that, this is another thing before we go on, a person that, you know, get so many disrespectful or views that people would just look down on him, to see how a group of other people look so far up to him, to where it comes to music or fashion, like he is definitely an icon.
Yes, for sure, and that's a good point you're making. So really, dropping this documentary can help change the narrative about Kanye. And it kind of did, you know what I'm saying? Because even though I've been listening to him ever since College Dropout, when I was in college, and I feel like, you know, I was getting to know him, but to see the behind the scenes, it gives you a different outlook on the person. You know?
I mean, to see, man, it makes you, like, not make excuses. It makes you, like, want to work even harder to see a man who was willing to put off jaw surgery just because it was time for him to blow up. We had been behind the scenes. It puts you to be ready when you get in the room. If you confident in what you got, to be ready to present it, it just motivates you to say, look, bro, it ain't no excuses. You dig what I'm saying?
None. Right, for real.
Because guess what? It also shows you this one thing. Just because one person, two persons, three people, 10 million people tell you no. If you believe in your work and you know that work is that work, keep pushing it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So did someone say he can tell his own story? Yeah, he'll definitely definitely have another documentary because I mean that right there.
It won't be better than that one. It definitely won't be better than that one.
No, that won't be better than that one, but that was his foundation. You know what I'm saying?
But I think he played enough of a role in this one that Kanye approved it.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. And like I said, I think it helped change the narrative of him because so many people want to label him crazy or different things like that. Now, what I would say, and no offense to Kanye or anybody, but just to listen to him speak, I would say that he could have like an intellectual disability. It ain't a disability, but like he could be on the autism spectrum.
But another thing it showed you that Kanye, he does have some kind of mental issues, right?
Yes, he does.
He told you that because you have mental issues does not mean that you can't be successful. You can't succeed right. At a high level. So a lot of that, I think there's a lot there that can motivate a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely think it's a great watch. I may even watch it again because it was so many points and I was, you know, doing different things while I was watching it. But as the things that stuck out, I was like, well, let me mention that tonight. But yeah, it's definitely a great watch. So you wanted to talk about giving people their flowers. It was in regards to Kanye or what did you want to speak on that?
No. This right here is... You know, we had at the church an ordaining of a deacon this past Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, Deacon Madison, you know,
mm-hmm.
He been a deacon ever since you've been alive. Fairly said he has been a deacon even since he was a little boy.
What?
So
wow.
So you talking about 50 some years, right? And within this program, we was ordaining another deacon, but we was able to give Deacon Madison his flowers and to see the reaction, you know, the emotion and the love that he felt, you know what I'm saying? To show that all the people he has, you know, put so much into, he poured into when he didn't know he was.
Right,
able to see the gratitude, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just shows you that if you appreciate a person,
mm-hmm.
let's not keep pushing it off,
right?
You know, what
not
I'm saying?
Real, man.
It showed me that it is important to go ahead and give a person that their flowers while they still here because who knows how much long he 80 some years old, who knows how much long he's gonna be on this earth, but mm-hmm. but being able to, To give him those flowers, so to say, you know what I'm saying, or honor right. him in words, it made me realize that it's very important to not keep pushing it. Even sometimes we don't be thinking about that we need to do, but maybe sometimes we need to look back over our life with people who've been so important to us and find out what you can do for them. So, you know, to let them know mm-hmm. that world is important to you and see how much they make that show that person. People want to hear that, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, time is short. You know, even Tracy Braxton, she passed away. Was the earliest week or over this weekend. And they said she was 50 years old. And now that you've been an adult and you 30-something, you like, well, 50 ain't that old. You know?
It's
just like things are happening so rapidly. So you're right. You need to make sure that people know how you feel about them because you never know. You know, you never know. You never knew, but you really never know now because it's like things happening so fast and you just want a person to be at peace with the relationship or, you know, however the feelings are between you two. So I definitely agree with that, co-host.
Yeah, and then you don't want to be the one, you know, who making the post, and then you know you had something that you could have gained that you didn't give.
Right, absolutely, you're right about that.
And a lot of times we stuck there, so I just think it's good to always reach back, man. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, and remember where you come from, and tell you that, you know, you inspired me. You know, that's, you know, yeah. Something that simple. Say, you inspired me. You know, you did this, you did that. You know, because you be standing on people back, and you don't even be getting their recognition.
Right.
You're paying homage to these people. And you know, because we take stuff so for granted. Oh yeah. my. We take stuff so for granted that we don't reach back and do the whole thing. And that just was something I wanted to say on here tonight, so I thought we should talk about, because we need to start doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree, co-host. Yeah, give co-hosts flowers.
Hey,
but that's right. I definitely agree. Yes, you do. You more than deserve them. You've been my little ride or die, which is younger than me. He in kindergarten. I'm in second grade, and he trying to tell people, don't y'all be messing with my sister, you know?
But here
we go. But still,
that's good upbringing.
No, but still, every siblingship is not that way,
right?
So, you know, okay. So, we're gonna do this post and then we're gonna wrap it up. Someone says that, ladies, he's not your partner, he's your husband. Understand the difference. So, according to this person, if you term your husband as your partner, not your husband, that emasculates him. So, what do you think about that, Cole? Do you think that there's some hoopla?
You said it does it demasculate him or what?
Yeah, it's emasculate, but yeah, like make him feel less than by saying that he's your partner versus saying he's your husband.
That's just somebody just they trying to play with words too much.
Right, because
you're my wife is my wife. She definitely my partner.
Right, I mean,
and she also my person. You know, so what's the difference?
Right,
I think that's what's to do about nothing. But I will say this: if you think that makes your partner or your husband or your wife or whoever feel a certain way, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, and I agree. If they have a problem with it. But I just think about it that if you looking at it as a partnership, then that keep things equal. Because you know, like when he married people, you know, he said that they're not your footstool or something, he said, so you shouldn't have your foot on them. You know, I think that keep people on the same level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not above you. You're not above me. You know what I'm saying? You are the head as the husband. But at the same time, we are equal and we side by side in the push and the pull, the 100 or 100. Like, that keep everything going as a well-oiled engine when we're looking at it as a partnership. You know what I'm saying? Because they know they're your husband. They know they're your wife. And they should also know that you're a partner. You know? So I definitely think it depends on if the individual have an issue with it or not. But if not, I don't think it's just, to me, that could be looked at one and the same. And honestly, I don't think people use the term partner unless it's a homosexual relationship. That's what the only time I really heard people say, well, this is my partner versus, you know what I'm saying? When you introduce your wife, right, you don't say, this is my wife or this is my husband. But I have heard people introduce their partner if it's a same sex relationship.
Yeah, but even those people, they say husband and wife.
Yeah, some of them, not more so now, but in the past, you were here and say, that's my partner. Yeah, because now it's more, you know, more accepted for them to be married and all this and that. Okay, we are at the 1 hour mark, but let's do this thing somebody sent me. Okay, so it says that my husband's baby mama threw a birthday party for their 10-year-old daughter yesterday. The baby mama told my husband that I was not invited, so my husband did not go. Now, my husband's family, mostly unmarried women, are bashing him for his decision to stand with me, and they are accusing him of being a bad father. His own mother said that I should have been understanding and not become upset if he had gone to the party without me. The baby mama and I have no bad blood. We have never been disrespectful to one another, have not had an argument or any dispute. But she told my husband that I was not welcome to the party because of my attitude. By the way, his daughter loves me, and I am known for being very kind and direct. Is my husband right for standing with me, or should he have left me behind to attend the daughter's party to satisfy the family that he came from?
Hey, I think the husband should do exactly what the husband wants to do. Your mama and your daddy, I'm sorry. You can't be trying to be pleasing to them, you know, because they can't do what your spouse is going to do for you. That's just number one. That's just number one, period. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I believe that. And I would teach that. Would I want to not went to the party? It depends. I'm not sure. In the moment, I don't know in that situation. I don't know what I would have done. You know what I'm saying? Because I love my child to death. But at some point, in some purpose, even in your child's life, you have to take a stand to show and prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his stand was that he wasn't going to come to the thing because his wife wasn't accepted. Because at the end of the day, we do have, that don't mean that he's not going to be in that child's life. They don't mean to be in that child life. That means when he talked to his child the next time, that they gotta have a conversation.
Right, exactly.
That's all that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And if the parents and his cousins and all them was real enough, they need to be real enough to when they get to the party to say that your daddy wasn't here because your mother decided that his wife couldn't come.
That's right. And I definitely agree. I think the dad did the right thing because that way he took control of the situation.
Right.
And he let the family know, he let the baby mama know, and he let the child know that he and his wife are a unit.
That's it.
And if she's not invited, then he's not invited. And you're right. That definitely opened the door for him to have a conversation with his child to let the child know that anything that I'm a part of, this lady gonna be a part of because we are a unit. And then there's nothing that doesn't mean that you are gonna be treated no less. You're not gonna get anything less. But it just set the tone for how things are gonna go from here on out. Had he attended that party without his wife, one, it would create friction in his household.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it would let the baby mama feel like she got the upper hand. So anytime she don't want the wife to be there, she could just say that and he gonna go along with it. And mm-hmm. it also can lead people to think that whatever kind of narrative the baby mama trying to spin, that they it's still real. Have something going on. You know what I'm saying? And so I think he definitely did the right thing as a man to put his foot down and say, look, this is how I rock. This is my wife, and she got to come with me, or I'm not a part of it. And then they can have their own party. And so being that she's saying that her and baby mama never had any issues, it makes it seem like, okay, she's still in love with the man. Why all of a sudden now, since it's a party, she don't want me there? You know, and how dare the family try to make him feel guilty? This is his wife. You can't tell this man how to do with his wife.
Yeah, but those things happen.
Well, like she said, they're unmarried people, so they don't understand
the value of marriage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's your answer on that. You know, I definitely think more men need to be like that because they just keep down confusion overall. And then it sets tone, like I said, this is how we are going to do things. There's no ENF and ifs or buts about it. This is how we do things. And point blank, period.
Yeah. So because if you start there, that can lead to a plethora of other issues.
Absolutely. And you know it will.
It is going to.
Right. Right, you know it will. Mm-hmm. So that's that on that. So y'all make sure y'all keep up with us. Keep following us on Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. like our page on Facebook, and, you know, just stay in the know with us. Hopefully we can get a live show going on. But let me tell y'all, my co-host is the busiest man in the world. So maybe he can carve out a little time for me so we can get a live show. Y'all can come and interact with us. We can have a little panel, this and all this. And they said they ain't let COVID keep them inside. Well, gas prices keeping them inside now. We just getting over COVID. Now the gas prices, we ain't over COVID, but, you know, getting a little past COVID.
We get towards the end of it, hopefully.
It's
phasing on out of this junk.
Yeah, it's phasing on out. But now we got the gas prices. So it's always going to be something. So that's another thing to let you know. There's always going to be something. So you can't make excuses.
Yeah, I'm scared to go ahead and figure out how much the gas was that my wife just filled up. I'm scared to figure out how much she spent.
Oh, well, yeah, it's up there. But, you know, this is what I said. I started thinking, and one day, every day I kept going up the road and down the road, it was different. And I started thinking back when I had, in 2008, when it was up again, it was up then, and I had to navigate. You know, you had to put premium in there.
I remember those things.
And so, you know, we were just out of school. I ain't had no money to be putting up $70 and all that in no gas tank. But you know what I said? We made it through that. And so we made it through that. We're going to make it through this.
We're going to make it through that.
Yes, right. So, you know, we do have to, you know, probably pee in the pitch a little bit and not get that many hamburgers or whatever, but we're going to make it through.
Yeah, you're going to make it through. You know, but it just, in life, you just got to find a balance in every situation. Even though it's hard, and I mean, and we praying that, you know, they drop the taxes or whatever they got to do with the rule. You just got to reevaluate your situation and try to make it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, co-host, come on and take us out.
All righty. Oh, gracious to heaven, eternal Father, here we are once again on another Tuesday, Father God. Father God, before we ask you for anything, though, we just going to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being you, God, you all by yourself. Father God, thank you for continuing to bless this platform. What's coming out of your mouth, Father God? Thank you for our conversation, Miss Father God, as they tune in weekly, Father God, with commentary, Father God, giving us commentary back and forth so we can be able to vent with them and they can vent with us, Father God. Just thank you for this therapy section, this therapeutic topics we're having, Father God. Thank you for the information that we continue to push the envelope, Father God. Thank you for us being people who want to sharpen each other, Father God, because just like iron sharpen iron, people sharpen people, Father God.
Yes,
Father God,
yes.
We just thank you for everybody who tuned in tonight and blessed their life in a mighty, mighty way, Father God, and hopefully that something was said or done that can help them on their daily journey of life, Father God. Father God, we're praying for the world right now, Father God. We're praying for Ukraine, Father God. We're praying for them as they continue to go through their struggles with Russia, Father God. We pray that a Russian could find it in their heart, Father God, to just calm down off of this foolishness, Father God, and let these people rest at some point, Father God. Father God, we just continue to pray for people's mental health, Father God, in every stage of life, Father God, from young to old, Father God. We just pray that the stigma on mental health be lifted, Father God, and if somebody's going through an issue, let them know that it is okay to not to be okay, Father God. Father God, yes. We just continue to pray for families as a whole, Father God. Just bring the families back together, Father God. Pray for parents, Father God. Pray that stricter and tougher parenting could be brought back into this world, Father God, so our children can be better people, Father God, so when they turn to be better kids, they can be better adults as well, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, we just thank you on tonight, Father God. Just thank you for your many blessings, Father God. Thank you for everything you're doing, for what's coming out of your mouth. Thank you for my co-host, Father God. Touch every part of her life, Father God. Touch your family, Father God. Touch my family. And Father God, just touch everybody who will see this, have seen it already, and hope they can take it to somebody else and let them know what a major time we're having over here, what's coming out of your mouth. Father God, as always, we ask you to forgive us for all of our sins, and these blessings we ask in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Awesome prayer as always. All right, you guys, thank you all for tuning in with us and hanging out on another Tuesday night. This has been your episode of What's Coming Out of Your Mouth. Good night.
Deuces. Oh, what a...